Well, we're going to hear from God's Word, the Bible, together now, and I invite you to join with me as we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. And it says this. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing generosity and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Thanks, Devon.
If you're here for the first time, welcome. Good to have you. My name is Dilan Jaisingh. I'm the senior pastor here. It's wonderful to have you here. Join us, and we are going to listen to God's word being explained. So before we do, allow me to pray and commit this time to God. Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have to be here as your people. Lord, now that we've read your word, we thank you that these words are for us. Written for our good, for our transformation. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you use these words and allow your Holy Spirit to challenge us and transform us. And Father, help us to be more and more like your Son, Jesus. And we ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, how can you contribute to us living out our mission? That's what we've been thinking about over the past couple of weeks. And if you were here a couple of weeks ago, we said one of the first things that you could do to contribute to us living out our vision, mission, and values is that you serve. You serve one another using your gifts and talents and the resources that God has given. And last week, if you were here, we looked at a second way of doing that by being partners or members in the local church, members in this church. So you get to contribute to the mission, vision, and values of this church. Now today, if you were reading, you would have recognized the passage. We are going to think about another way, a third way that you can contribute to us living out our mission, vision, and values, which is giving. Giving. Financial giving to the work of the church. Now, if this is the first time that you are attending this church, you might be thinking, here we go again, another church talking about money. They're all interested about my money, so I'm going to switch off. I must admit that we don't preach about giving or money regularly as we should. The last time we did this was a few years ago, and I remember the very first time when I preached on giving. There was a new lady who was visiting us that day, and she told someone that she didn't really like that sermon because it talked about giving, and we haven't seen her since. And I hope that won't happen today. Let me tell you what we are on about. We are on about by being guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be followers and witnesses of Jesus, and by doing that, we want to glorify God. That is what we are on about. We are on about the transformation of the good news of Jesus brings in a person's life. Their character, their behavior, work ethic, family life, and relationships. And this includes the transformation of our attitude towards money. How do you see money? What do we do with money? How do we give towards the work of God in the church? So I don't apologize this morning for preaching on the subject of giving. And my sincere hope and prayer is that by the time we finish today, that you will appreciate that giving is a wonderful expression of our faith in Jesus. And you will recognize that giving is a great way of how you can contribute to us living out our mission, vision, and values. Now, understand this passage a little bit better that we read from 2 Corinthians. Please keep that in front of you, because we're going to spend some time in that passage. I'm going to tell you a bit of a background for this passage. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 11, we find that there was a severe famine in the Roman world in the first century. And this hit the church in Judea really hard. There was financial stress, people were starving, and the church couldn't actually look after its people. And in Acts chapter 11, verses 29 to 30, we are told that the Christians in other churches began to send their gifts, their financial contributions to the church in Judea by the hands of Paul and Barnabas. Now the church in Corinth was one of those churches who started giving first. They were very generous at the beginning. But somehow they kind of got behind in their giving. They lost interest. They got a bit distracted, maybe a bit lazy and complacent of their giving. So what is Paul doing in this letter in 2 Corinthians? He tells the Corinthian church about another church. The church in Macedonia. The church in Macedonia. It's like, you know, parents wanting to get their kids to do something like better. So what do? They kind of say, okay, look at the Joneses kids. Look how they are doing stuff better. So it's kind of Paul is saying, well, look at the Macedonians, Corinthians. See how they are giving. See why they are giving. So why does he do that? Because he wants the Corinthian church and us who are reading this letter today to start getting back on track. Getting back on track on giving generously to the work of the church. And that's what we are going to do this morning. We're going to think about those two questions. Why should we give to the work of the church? And how should we give to the work of the church? Why should we give to the church of the church? The work of the church. I'm going to give us five reasons why we should give to the work of the church. And it is in this passage. I'll look at verse 1 of chapter 8. Giving is a gift of God. Verse 1. It says, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Now, grace is God giving us something that we don't deserve. It is something that we haven't worked for. It is something that we didn't earn. In other words, it's a gift, isn't it? It's a gift of God. So what is Paul saying here? The Macedonians were able to give because God gave them the gift of giving. God gave them the gift of giving. What does that mean? That means God is the one who gave them the resources. I'm going to go back one. God gave them the resources and the finances, the jobs, the income, the means to give. I mean, sometimes this is what we forget, isn't it? We forget that what we have is what God has given. The jobs that we have, the incomes that we have, the savings that we have, the interest rates that are going up. I don't know, we kind of complain about it if you have a loan, but God has given all these. But God not only gave them the resources to give, but He is the one who actually gives us the means, the ability, the heart to give. And that is why giving is a gracious gift of God to us. If God has not given us the resources, and if God has not given us the heart to give, we won't be able to give. It is a gracious gift of God to the believers. Now, second, why should we give? Giving is an expression of our joy. Giving is an expression of our joy in Jesus. Verses 2 and 3, if you're in your Bibles, it says Macedonians were facing severe trials and poverty. It is possible that they were treated badly. They were going through persecution and severe trial because of their faith in Jesus. They might have lost their income. They must have lost their jobs. Lost a promotion, demoted at work. But in verse 2, do you notice what's there in the middle of severe trial and extreme poverty? That overflowing joy, isn't it? Overflowing joy. They were overflowing with joy. Now this can't be that they were joyful for what they were suffering. It has to be something else, right? And I want to suggest the overflowing joy here is the joy of their salvation in Jesus. The joy of knowing what Jesus has done for them when He died on the cross. And because of that, that they are now belonging to God. The joy of being forgiven by God. And the joy of being accepted into God's family, and the joy of knowing that God is now on their side. Now, what do people do when they're joyful? What do people do when they're so happy? They give, don't they? They are very generous. They're coming into a season of generosity. And that's what happened to these poor Macedonians. Although they were kind of scraping the barrel, they were so poor. They were rich in joy. In verse 3, they gave as much as they were able to and even beyond their ability, because giving was an expression of their joy in Jesus. Giving was an expression of their joy in Jesus. And the third reason why we should give is it is an act of service. It is an act of service. Paul says these Macedonians, they did something extraordinary. Look at verse 4. It says, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. Since these Christians were so poor and needy, Paul was feeling bad to kind of ask them for financial contributions. But they, this church, they didn't wait till they were asked or manipulated or forced to give. No, they kind of begged Paul They had to somehow convince Paul to allow them to give. Why did they do that? Because they saw their giving was a way of serving the church, the people of God. In verse 6, Paul says giving is an act of service on their part. Giving is an act of service on their part. He reminds them in verse 7 that just like faith and healing and speaking in tongues and knowledge and love, all these gifts that the Corinthians were boasting about, giving is a gift that God had given the Corinthians to give back to the church. Giving is another thing that God has given people as a gift to the church. Your giving is a gift to the church from God. And here at BCCB, your giving in Baptist Community Church Burwood, your giving help us not only to pay our bills and pay for two pastors, it helps us support three missionaries and soon to be four. We are able to support scripture work in our primary school and in our high schools. We are able to contribute to students who are studying in Burwood Public School who are in need. We are able to give to those who are in need. We are able to contribute to the work of the Baptist Association. And as we make strategic goals for the next 10 years, there will be expenses to what we want to do what God wants us to do. And giving is one way that God calls us to be part of what he wants us to do here. And the fourth reason why we should give is it is a mark of our lordship of Jesus in our lives. So when we have baptisms here, usually guys, they rock up with a short and a t-shirt. There was this true story of a wealthy, high-profile businessman getting baptized. And on his day of baptism, he came with like his full suit, best tie, best watch, best shoes. He came as if he's going to present a business proposal. And he explained why he did that. And he said, "This is me. And I want everything to get baptized when I get baptized. I want Jesus to be the Lord of everything I have, everything I do. My money, my social status, my business." And I think this is what the Macedonians did, right? They exceeded their expectations on giving because first they gave themselves to the Lord and then to us. When they had become Christians, they surrendered everything, even the little they had, to Jesus. It is like they put themselves into the offering bag. Jesus did not become the Lord of just one or few parts of their lives. No, he became the Lord of every part of their lives. He was the Lord of everything, including their wallets. When they gave generously and sacrificially, they were pointing to Jesus as their boss, as their Lord. Now, friends, we should remember, God doesn't need our money. He's the owner of the whole universe. What he's after is our hearts, our hearts that are surrendered to him. Our hearts where Jesus is Lord. That's what he's after. And fifthly, why we should give is giving is becoming more and more like Jesus. Giving is becoming more and more like Jesus. Because the ultimate example of giving is not the Macedonians. No, it is Jesus, isn't it? Paul says the Macedonians were simply following the example of Jesus. Because as I wrote yesterday, if you read the pastor's probe, Jesus was a giver, wasn't he? He gave his time, his money, forgiveness, mercy, life. He gave words of wisdom. He gave himself. And verse 9, Paul reminds the Corinthians the example of Jesus. Because though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. What is he talking about? He's saying, as God, Jesus was immeasurably rich. But for your sake, he became poor. How did he become poor? He left all his heavenly glory and he was born as a man. And then he humbled himself to die on a cross. And Paul says, because of that, because he became poor, you became so rich. How are we rich? We have God's mercy. We have forgiveness. We have his Holy Spirit. We have God's promises. We have a God who owns the whole universe. We have eternal life, and Jesus gave himself willingly, sacrificially. He became poor. He emptied himself so that we can be rich. We can have everything. And that's what we're going to remember, isn't it, when we take communion today, later. So if you're a follower of Jesus, this is the path that the Holy Spirit will make us walk. To become generous. Sacrificial, become a giver like Jesus. Now then the next question is, how should we give? How should we give? Should we give a tenth of our income? Is it the gross income or is it the net income? What about those gifts that I get? Should I tithe on those? What do we do with the interest rates? And I have been in churches where the church kind of keep a record of what people give. And then the leaders would visit you if you kind of fall behind on your giving a couple of months and remind you that, oh, you need to give. Now I have been in churches where the preacher kind of got a whiteboard and draw 10 circles and kind of mark the first circle and said, you know, this one is what God owns. So you should give the first circle to God. And I have been in churches where they have basically said, if you don't give, God won't bless you. Or because the reason why you are sick, or the reason why you don't have a job, because you have not given. Nothing could be further from the truth than all those. Notice Paul's tone here in this chapter. Verse 8. He's saying, I'm not commanding you. Verse 10, he says, this is the advice, the best advice that I'm going to give you. Verse 13, he says, it is our desire that you give. And in these verses, Paul encourages three ways to give. Three ways to give. First, give willingly. Give willingly. And that's what the Macedonians did. That's what Jesus did. And that's what we should do. Verse 11 and 12 again, we are told, what matters to God is not our money, but our willingness. If the willingness is there, he says, it doesn't matter how big or how small your gift, it is acceptable to God. Later in chapter 9, in the same book, Paul writes, he kind of continues this theme of giving, and he says in verse 7, each man should give what he has described in his heart to give. Don't give reluctantly or under compulsion, because he says God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Give willingly, without grudging, without complaining. Give joyfully. And the second way he asks us to give is, give what you can. Give what you can. Note in these verses, Paul establishes the standard of giving, right? He says, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you should give. But he does not say how much to give, right? Instead, in verse 11, he says, give according to your means. Verse 12, give willingly according to what one has, not one does not have. And this is what I think the Macedonians were doing. They gave as much as they were able to, and even in that they gave beyond their ability. If you have more, give more. If you have little, give little. Again, that whole principle, isn't it? God does not want our money. He does not want what we don't have. He wants our heart. He wants our willingness. And there's a few hundred years ago, there's this preacher, John Wesley, who was famous, who was kind of the founder of the Methodist movement. And he had this humble beginnings. He was living in an economically hard time, but then he became very famous, and he started earning money, and he used to earn about 1,400 pounds per year. This is about 300-400 years ago. Some say it could be about 500,000-600,000 in today's equivalent money. So what did he do with all this wealth that he had? Did he tithe it? Did he give like 10% of it to the church? No, Wesley went beyond. He disciplined himself to live on just 30 pounds for a year. He gave 98% to the work of the church and lived on just 2%. And it's Wesley who famously said, gain all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. So, friends, gain all you can. Do business well. Do work well. Work hard. Gain all you can. Save all you can. Be good stewards of the finances that God has given you. And give all you can. Be generous in your giving according to the means that God has given you. Finally, give trusting in God. Give trusting in God. You know, sometimes giving is like going to the dentist, isn't it, for some people? Like, you know the feeling? Like you really don't want to be there. You really don't want to go there, but you have to. It's so painful to give. And part of that reason is we are worried about our own future, isn't it? We are worried about, would we have enough money for ourselves? Can we feed our families? Can we? What about our future? Who's going to look after our children? In chapter 9, verse 8, Paul says, when you give, God is able to bless you abundantly. That in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. What is he saying here? He's saying, give cheerfully. Give willingly, give joyfully, because God will look after you. God knows what you need. He's the God who feed the birds, that dress the flowers, and he's the God who sustains the whole universe, and he knows what we need. And he will not let you and me go starving. He will not let you and me go homeless or go naked. He will provide our needs. In other words, giving is an expression of our trust in God's provision. And I think that's what the Macedonians were effectively doing when they gave out of their poverty. They trusted God to provide for them. And that released them to give generously, isn't it? That released them to give generously. So give willingly. Give what you can. Give trusting in God. It may be that some of you who are believers, you haven't been giving financially to the church. So let me encourage you to consider giving. Start giving to the work of the church. Perhaps some of you might want to consider giving a bit more if you have been giving regularly. Has God blessed you a bit more? Has God given you a bit more? Can I encourage you to think about whether God is calling you, and pray about it, whether God is calling you to give more to the work of the church? Now, since COVID, you'd have noticed we haven't passed a bag around collecting an offering for hygienic reasons. But we encourage you to give online. Giving details are in our church bank account. You can always speak to Paul Holding, our treasurer, about those details. But for those who prefer giving cash, there is a box at the back. And you can use that to give. But as you give, pray. Pray for yourselves and pray for the church leadership that we might be good stewards of what God gives us through you, that we might use it wisely. And you would realize, just like communion, giving is for believers. Those who have trusted in Jesus. Those who have trusted in Jesus for what he has done for them. So, because if you're not a believer, there's no reason for you to give, right? You might feel, I'm feeling generous, I'll just give. But if you are a believer, there's all the reasons for you to give, right? Because giving is a gift from God. It is an expression of joy in Jesus. It is an act of service to one another. It is a mark of Jesus' lordship over our lives. And it is becoming more and more like Jesus. And guess what? Giving is a wonderful way where you can contribute to the mission, vision, and values here at church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for the resources that you have given. Father, we thank you, Lord, the gifts that we have. All the work, the pensions, the incomes that we have, the ways in which this country has blessed each and every one of us. Father, we thank you. We thank you because all these are your expressions of how much you love us, how much you care for us. And we also thank you, Lord, that you have given all these so that we can bless the church. We can bless those who are serving, so we can serve the church. So, Father, we pray for each one of us as we consider our giving. And pray, Father, that you grant us direction and clarity and willingness and new insights into how we can give. And Father, those of us who don't know Jesus this morning, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you give us the grace to understand that Jesus is the Lord of the whole universe and he wants to be the Lord of our lives. And I pray, Father, that you give us clarity around how we can make Jesus the Lord of every area of our lives, including our finances. And as a church, help us, Lord, to be good stewards of the gifts that you give us through your people. And Father, as we do, help us to continue to serve your church in the ways that honors you. And we ask this, Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I mentioned, communion is for those who have trusted in Jesus, those who have repented of their sins and said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. So if you are one of those, I would encourage you to take part in communion. If you haven't received a communion pack, would you put your hand up? One of us will be able to get one for you. Thank you. Let me read these words from Philippians chapter 2 in preparation for communion. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippian church, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we come, as we break the bread, we remember that Jesus humbled himself. And his body was broken. His blood was spilled. Why? Because he loved us. He loved us. He gave himself up for our sake. He became poor for our sake so that we can be rich. So the bread reminds us of the broken body of Jesus, and the cup reminds us of the blood that was spilled for us 2,000 years ago, which made us into the family of God. So I'm going to give us a moment to reflect on that and be thankful to God for what he has done through his son Jesus. And also, if there's anything that you want to confess to God, anything that you want to bring before God, I'm going to give us a couple of moments to do that before we take part in communion. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, we come this morning with thankful hearts for what you have done through your Son Jesus. We are thankful for the cross. We are thankful that in that cross, Jesus emptied himself, all but love, so that we can be yours. We can be rich in you. We thank you that on that cross, Jesus died to pay the price for all our sins. that separated us from you. And we thank you that this morning we can confess our sins and know that our sins are forgiven because of Jesus' death on that cross. So as we eat this bread and drink this cup, Father, help us to continue to remember and be thankful and be grateful to you. Amen. Friends, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it in front of his disciples and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Eat this, and whenever you eat this, do it in remembrance of me." So let's eat this bread together. And after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, the new relationship that God has initiated with him through Jesus." And Jesus said, "Whenever you drink this cup, drink this in remembrance of me." And this is the cup that has brought us together, isn't it? We are united in the body of Christ because Jesus is the Lord of everyone. So we are thankful for that. So we drink this together in remembrance of that. Let's drink this together. Allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful again. We cannot understand how you gave your son Jesus, your only son Jesus, to die on a cross. Lord, we cannot fathom, but we are thankful for your love for us. We are thankful that Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose back to life. And he reigned supreme. And one day we will see him face to face. And until then, we pray, please keep us in your care. Protect us and help us to look up to Jesus in every day of our lives that you give us here on earth. And as we do, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and your love and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us now and forever. Amen.